City in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Appreciate you starting up your Wednesday right here on B&E. Start up every day here on the show of the people. Big conversations, a lot of them. Texas Longhorns in our spotlight today. Kind of always in our spotlight, but they are today specifically because they're number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. As we count them down to number one, we'll talk some positional battles coming up at the bottom of the hour. We know quarterback is a position of interest, but other big positional battles coming up in camp, which will come up next weekend for the Texas Longhorns. Also, in our coach's corner here in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk a little Austin FC and some soccer with our buddy Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters. Q2 Stadium will be packed again tonight. The Austin FC play their second game of the week. They have three games this week. They're going to play the Houston Dynamo for the first time. So we'll get a preview with Glenn and their issues scoring goals. But do they have some help on the way is the question. Also, that big win for the U.S. national team on Sunday in Las Vegas, winning the Gold Cup. So a lot of big conversations in soccer. We've got NBA. We've got good stuff in the Olympics. So having some good fun on a Wednesday. Bucky is out. As we told you yesterday, Bucky got on a plane early this morning to fly to Pennsylvania to see his family, which I know he was really, really looking forward to. Hadn't been back in a while, 3 years since he's been back to see his family. He's one of eight children, so big family, so good for the buck. He'll take some time. And Isaiah Collier and I will hold down the fort here today. And got great guests coming up, and including Glenn Davis here this morning as we get you rolling. Now, Isaiah, I sent you the Snoop Dogg Kevin Hart video, so if you can find that, we'll try to play. I don't know if it's is it FCC compliant for the most part?
I'm going to have to see.
We'll have to see, because we were talking about Olympic events that you maybe didn't think you'd enjoy watching, that all of a sudden you just find yourself watching. Bucky mentioned the other day ping pong. Like you get into this ping pong, man, and you get stuck into it. I was watching rock climbing yesterday and got you know, pretty much mesmerized by watching these guys try to climb to the top of this wall. Pretty amazing stuff. And yes, then there's the equestrian events as well that are fun. But we're having fun with you on a Wednesday. Let's start the hours we do each with the headlines, trending topics, so you're fully in the know as you get up and out. As I drop things, UBL Business Services brings you the news. Start with the Major League Baseball last night. A playoff feel in Los Angeles. Houston Astros, long-awaited return to Dodger Stadium, full of drama and tension. And, of course, Houston's first trip into L.A. with fans in attendance since the sign-stealing scandal of 2017 and that 2017 World Series. The Astros won in seven games. And it was the largest crowd to see a baseball game live this season. Over 52,000 fans at Dodger Stadium, and they were after the Astros for sure. But Lance McCullers, who in a twist of fate started Game 7 of that World Series, was on the mound last night, and he was outstanding for the Astros. He and three relievers combined on a five-hit shutout. Houston gets the victory 3-0. A lot of tension. There's a playoff feel there. Game two of that series is tonight in L.A. Max Scherzer will make his Dodger debut against Jake Odorizzi. Rangers, meanwhile, lost to the Angels 11-3. NBA, the exodus continues out of San Antonio, and the rebuild is on. Spurs have completed a sign-and-trade deal, setting their leading scorer from last season, DeMar DeRozan, to Chicago. He'll go to the Bulls. Coming back to San Antonio, Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, a future first-round pick and two future second-round selections. DeRozan's departure follows Rudy Gay, who signed with Utah, and Patty Mills, who signed a new deal with the Brooklyn Nets. L.A. Lakers continue their free agent spending spree. Of course, they acquired Russell Westbrook right before free agency began. Well, since then, the last 48 hours, the Lakers have added 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony. They also signed Kendrick Nunn, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, and Malik Monk over the first 2 days of free agency to retool that roster and rebuild that roster. Golden State Warriors have re-signed superstar guard Steph Curry, new four-year mega contract, $225 million. Big day for Team USA in the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. U.S. reaching the semifinals in baseball, women's volleyball, and women's basketball. In track and field, another thriller. This time came in the women's 400-meter hurdles. That's where Sydney McLaughlin, the 21-year-old American, edged out her fellow American and 2016 gold medalist Dalia Muhammad. She wins gold. They go gold, silver, and they both broke the world record in that event. U.S. medal count now stands at 76 with 25 gold. NFL, Minnesota Vikings have released their 2020 first-round draft pick. The former TCU star Jeff Gladney That's after Gladney was indicted on felony domestic violence charges in Dallas earlier this week.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Hey, Isaiah Collier, when you're looking at what the Lakers are doing in free agency and you're our basketball guru, does it feel like LeBron has just told the Lakers, look, this is who I want to play with? Get me these guys. I've always wanted to play with Russ. I've always wanted to play with Carmelo. Because none of this makes any sense to me. But, you know, LeBron, is that LeBron stirring the drink, or are these actually well-thought-out moves that the Lakers are putting together here?
Yeah, LeBron definitely has the straw. he definitely has the straw for that drink that is to be stirred. It doesn't make much sense. Like, DeMar DeRozan, he was a free agent. You just saw him get, you know, that sign-in trade with the Bulls, and obviously the Spurs got, you know, stuff back, but the Russell Westbrook coming to the team makes no sense for him to be the third option. Once they get in the playoff time, everybody just going to back off Russ and make him shoot the three, which that's kind of been Russell's Achilles heel for the last decade. So I don't get that. And then with the olds.
Carmelo?
Carmelo's good for 15 minutes a game. That's about it. But, yeah, Dwight, like, he's, you know, one jump hook away from being washed. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that it seems like this is their last run also. But, yeah, it does seem like Bron's like, hey, just like Space Jam.
Give me all these guys.
Let me get all these guys. So
yeah, it's, you know, go back to when the Lakers won the championship in the bubble just a year ago now. But it was, you know, they played the Rockets, and that's when James Harden was still on the Rockets and Russell Westbrook was still on the Rockets. I mean, how quickly things have changed. But the Lakers' game plan was to double-team James Harden and make Russell Westbrook beat him. And he couldn't, because he couldn't shoot. And the Lakers won the series pretty easily. And it's like, well, that was just a year ago, and that was your strategy. What do you think the strategy is going to be against you this year when you get to the playoffs? They're going to double LeBron. You still have Anthony Davis, though, too. There's that. I mean, I think the idea is just throw three of the top 10 players in the league on the same team and see if people can stop them. But it does feel like it's a bit of a misfit, and LeBron is kind of running the show there in Los Angeles, and the Spurs are completely rebuilding. There's no doubt. All right, can we play the Kevin Hart thing? Is that legal? No, we can't do it.
I'm going to have to edit that a little
bit. Got to edit a little bit, but it's funny. It's Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart, the comedian, watching these horses dance in the Olympics. It's Olympic equestrian events that are pretty captivating, too. But we'll play that for you once we can edit it a little bit. I had to send that to Zay. We've also got Hot or Not for the end of the hour. We're talking Texas at number 18 in our countdown. And we'll preview the Cowboys and Steelers tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame game. But it's time for our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's avconsultations.com. Our guy Tom McKay and his tremendous crew, 30-plus years here in Austin, Texas, for all of your audiovisual needs, for your home theater, your sports watching room, your man cave, whatever you need. They do all the sports bars around Central Texas. They can certainly do your crib as well, like they'd have for the Buck and for me, at avconsultations.com. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It's going to be another hyped-up atmosphere tonight at Q2 Stadium. The Verde Fan Club will be there. Can they score some goals, though? The Austin FC playing the Houston Dynamo. Joining us to preview is our man Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters here at every Monday night here on the Horn at 7 o'clock. He is a soccer expert, if there ever was one. Glenn, how are you, bud?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on the breakfast show. Aaron, Bucky, hope you guys are off to a good start today.
We are. Well, Bucky's not here today. Bucky's off to Pennsylvania, taking some time to see his family. So Isaiah Collier is here, and you are here. Well, Glenn, let me say, you know, for folks who don't know, you are the you're the TV commentator with the Houston Dynamo. You're very close to that organization. And tonight will be the first matchup of these two Texas MLS teams, Houston and Austin. What are the Austin fans going to see in this group from Houston?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, it's such a historic night, I think. We're one of only two states in MLS that has three teams in it. So we're going to let the good times roll with the Copa Tejas and all the rivalry, the ability to travel back and forth for fans. But listen, Houston exponentially is a much better defending team. It was like a hot bite knife to butter last year. They got broken down very easily. They will be very difficult to break down tonight. They just signed a designated player a couple weeks ago from playing in the Turkish Super League named Teenage Hadebe, who's from Zimbabwe. So they've got two very solid center backs in Tim Parker and Hadebe. collectively, from a defending standpoint, they work. I think the real fear for Austin FC tonight is the likely front runners for Houston that all have pace. I wouldn't say they're executing, much like Austin. These are two teams that aren't scoring goals, but in transition, they could be dangerous.
I think you and I talked yesterday that the Austin defenseman could be in for a long night tonight because the aggressive offensive of the Houston Dynamo coming in here. The goaltender for Austin FC has been phenomenal this year, but obviously with nine times they've been shut out, he's pretty much got to stand on his head if they have an opportunity to win matches right now.
Well, he has stood on his head. And, when the U.S. won the Gold Cup with Matt Turner, I kind of just went to Brad Stuber and the amazing season that he has had. I mean, he's clearly the team MVP. He saved you points. But he's going to have to come up with the timely save, as always. Houston's got a very good goalkeeper in Marko Marić as well, who's been, I would say, protected a lot more and a lot better than Brad Stuber has overall. But, I think the pressing game of Houston, you got to be careful. Pico, Baird, Pascher, Griffin Dorsey. And I think Austin's going to try to do the same thing and put the Dynamo under pressure. So the moment that ball turns over in this game, how quickly people get it forward and find people with teams overcommitted in a half of a field, I think is going to be very essential for both teams.
Austin FC and Houston Dynamo tonight out of Q2. Three games this week for the Austin FC. Hey, Glenn, the Austin, Josh Wolf under fire, obviously, and pressure to produce with this offense. And we know about the shutouts and the home streak here, three straight losses now. But as you and I discussed yesterday, the MLS, you go on a little bit winning streak here, you can get yourself right back in the mix. That's it's a long season. A lot of teams make the playoffs. What needs to happen for Josh Wolf and the Oaks here to get things turned?
Yeah, listen, they just have really not been able to execute. I think part of the problem for both of these teams, they both are missing that one game-changing player that will allow others to really play in their natural position. So sometimes both these coaches, Todd Ramos and Josh Wolf, are asking guys to do things that maybe we're expecting a little bit too much. On the other hand, what can you say with the goal-scoring woes? They've gotten into the final third, Austin FC. Is it movement, decision-making? Is it confidence? Is it luck? Is it simply maybe not enough quality in some cases? Look, there's been some disappointments. I don't think there's any question. Rodney Redis. I mean, there's guys that have not produced, and that's also a part of not scoring goals. It's not just something from the heavens always. So, if Sebastian Driussi comes in and can make a pretty quick accelerated impact, all of a sudden you can put people back into positions where they've gone. Look, to Todd Ramos and Josh Wolf, both these coaches have tried everything. They've changed things subtly, tactically, personnel. There's not much more they can do at this point. I don't think in a lot of cases it's totally – I don't think it's down to tactics for Austin. They've had their chances. They just haven't taken them. They haven't been clinical. They have another 9 points right now. It's a whole different story. And to your point, this is the most forgiving soccer league in the world. So, despite the fact that you've been shut out, 10 times this season, 5 out of 6 at home, you're still right in there, as you said, Aaron, with 2 wins. Houston Dynamo, only 3 points off a playoff spot, haven't won since May 22nd. So both teams still in this thing. Both teams still trying to build their squads as the season goes along. And you can be afforded time in this league because of the fact that it is a pretty forgiving playoff-type league.
Glenn, you mentioned the newcomer coming in. Probably won't play tonight. Maybe on Saturday we'll see him. Talk about that. And it was wasn't cheap, but they're looking for offense. What's your scouting report on the newest Austin FC member?
Well, I would just say this. Austin FC, look, got a problem up front. It accelerated their desire to bring somebody in. Sebastian Driussi, 25 years old, DP signing, great age. He's a midfielder that can do a lot of different things. Break it down off the dribble, switch the point of attack, great range of passing, take set pieces, long-range goal threat. I mean, he's everything you want, and you're paying for that. You're paying $7 million for it, so you are going to expect an immediate impact. But this is a seasoned guy at 25. Zenit St. Petersburg in Russia, not an easy place to play. River Plate in Argentina, so This is a guy expected to elevate and attack and make an instant impact.
Yeah, Sebastian Driussi is his name. That's a name to watch as we move forward. Glenn Davis is with us. It's Austin and Houston tonight out at Q2. Glenn, love to get your thoughts on what we saw on Sunday night, that thrilling match with the USA and Mexico in Las Vegas. We saw the U.S. men's national team a week or so ago here in Austin qualify for that Gold Cup final, then go to Vegas and win it. Big moment for USA, you know, soccer.
Big time. We're in unprecedented times right now. Got to keep your feet on the ground. If you remember after 2018, when we didn't qualify for the World Cup, we had all the commentators and they go, oh, we got to blow the system up and all that. No, you didn't need to blow the system up. You just needed to accelerate youth. And that was the silver lining in this. By not going to the World Cup, it accelerated the youth movement with guys like Tyler Adams, with guys like Christian Pulisic, with guys like Weston McKennie. And here we sit now, and we basically put a B team in the Gold Cup. And it wasn't a full Mexican team, but it was a much more experienced Mexican team. And here you are winning the Gold Cup. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're looking at guys and going, wow, they just performed like that in front of 70,000. A head coach can go to a Miles Robinson, who was outstanding. He can go to a Matt Turner, who's now probably easily in the top three goalkeepers for the U.S. He can go to Kellen Acosta, who's been revived. He can look at a Matthew Hoppe potentially for the future. So this is an amazing time for us in soccer. I think we do need to stay grounded. I think we do realize, though, that we have never had this much depth. I think a lot of that has to do with the player development system in the United States now and the opportunities kids are getting in Europe and both in MLS, like tonight with Austin FC and the Houston Dynamo.
Glenn, for our fans who are learning the game of soccer, both locally and on the international level, what's next? You win the Gold Cup with this young team. Obviously, now you have to go qualify for the World Cup, correct?
Yep, that's what's up now. It's a great, confident place to go into the World Cup. I would also say that maybe this is a good situation for Mexico, too, because they've got to respond now. They never like losing to their rivals in CONCACAF, so they've got work to do. But I think, you know, it's interesting to create the parallel with the U.S. women's national team, right? Everybody's going to the fact that they were a much older team, and they looked like an older team in the Olympics. There's no question. And this whole trying to rejuvenate a team and move on superstars and legendary players is a really difficult thing to time. Now the women's program is going to be able to accelerate a lot of their youth. Much like we did after not much like the men's side did after not qualifying for the World Cup. So World Cup qualifying's coming up, Qatar. We're getting excited.
Absolutely. Glenn, we appreciate it. And Houston Dynamo in town tonight, the first matchup of the Texas teams. And, of course, Dallas FC as well, three MLS teams in the Lone Star State. The first matchup with Houston and Austin tonight out at Q2 Stadium. Thanks for the preview, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Aaron, you're the best. Thank you.
All right, Glenn Davis, also the best. You hear him on Monday nights if you're looking for the full hour of in-depth soccer conversation on Austin FC and everything happening locally and internationally. Glenn brings it as good as anybody. Based down in Houston and has been very close to that Houston Dynamo team, but does a great job with the Austin FC, who are struggling, to say the least, but they will play tonight out at Q2. All right, so there's Glenn Davis. Isaiah Collier, you know what happened 28 years ago on this day, August the 4th.
One of the greatest fights of all time, baby.
Yeah, man. Who hasn't seen this on a loop a million times? Nolan Ryan teaches Robin Ventura a lesson. when Robin Ventura thought it'd be a good idea to charge the mound against the old cattle rancher, and that did not go well for Mr. Ventura, to say the least, as he took a beating, and Nolan Ryan, it's still a thing of legend, the old guy against the young kid who decided to charge the mound was a good idea. We'll have to get some tales of that. Your memories of 28 years ago, I remember thinking, what is he doing? Like, does he know your immediate thought is, oh no, don't do it. He charged the mound against Nolan Ryan. Probably should not have done that, for sure. But thank you to Glenn Davis. We've headed out to Q2 tonight. We certainly will have a full recap of that match tomorrow with Houston and Austin. Can Austin get some goals on the board? You know, and Zay, he said something in there that's interesting. I don't think people realize that they did bring in this new midfielder, 25-year-old from Argentina originally. But $7 million it cost. I mean, they're spending some money. You know, you think about Austin and MLS and how they're growing, but you know, this is not the minor leagues anymore that we talk about. This is real money. I mean, $7 million for a designated international player. Clearly, Josh Wolf and Claudio Reyna and Anthony Precourt and the Austin FC understand they're getting these huge crowds. They've gone scoreless, you know, 5-6 straight times out there. They need to get some goals on the board, and you know, $7 million is a pretty good amount of money to invest in your offense and your team.
Yeah, it is. And like Buck, the soccer guru, says, they need more international cats. That's how you become a high-class team, especially in the MLS. And usually it's, you know, those guys who are about finished with their careers, like the Beckhams and whatnot. But it's nice to get a young cat for, you know, that amount, even though it's a little steep.
All right, so coming up, we'll dive into the Horn Top 20 Countdown with the Longhorns at number 18. We'll get to some positional battles. Also, we'll get you the latest on the Big 12. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby met yesterday with the Big 12's commissioner, George Kliavkov, to discuss some type of possible merger, or is it a scheduling partnership, something along those lines. We'll get you details on that as the Big 12 tries to regroup from the losses of Texas and Oklahoma. Also, is Kansas potentially eyeing a move to the Big Ten? We'll get you the latest on that developing story as well. So it's a busy Wednesday. Great stuff. Good conversation. Appreciate Glenn Davis. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics before the end of our hour. It's B&E with you. But coming back next, the Horn Top 20 Countdown, shining the spotlight on Austin, Texas. Coming back next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Wednesday. We're going to dive into our Horn Top 20 Countdown. And we're shining the spotlight on the Texas Longhorns today at number 18. Had some pretty good debate at our Horn Roundtable where we debated our top 20 and got everybody together, all of our Horn personalities from all the shows, and really debated, you know, who are the top teams in college football, top teams from each conference, and that's how we formed our top 20. And now we count them down from 20 to 1 on a day-by-day basis here all the way, and then we're at number 18. And there was a good debate. Do the Longhorns even belong in the top 20? You know, there's the side that, you know, they were 7-3 a year ago. They bring, you know, 8 starters back on offense and 7 on defense, and they replaced quarterback, but a lot of experience on the offensive line. But we'll get into that here coming up as we shine the spotlight on Texas. Do they belong as a top 20 team? I'll just say this. I think we'll know for sure where Texas stands by mid-October. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you look at the schedule, you know exactly what type of team Texas has, because they'll be tested early and they'll be tested often into mid-October here in the 2021 season. But, Zay, we were talking about Olympic events that maybe you didn't even know existed before the Olympics began in Tokyo earlier back in July, and now maybe you've gotten into them. I was talking about rock climbing. I was watching the rock climbing events. And then there's the equestrian events. And I know very little about this. I know that there's the equestrian where the horses and the riders, they jump over gates and they do that kind of stuff. But there's also, what do we call this? Horse dancing? Horse dancing, where the horse and it's almost, the music's playing and the horse is doing a routine, or the person is leading the horse through a routine. And I thought this was funny. Did you edit this for us? Because we have Kevin. This is a pretty funny bit that they're doing on YouTube, but Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg sitting at a desk and then watching Olympic events and commenting on it and sporting events. And here is Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart, like I did when I saw these horses dancing to the beat of a song. I thought this was pretty funny.
Equestrian.
This is
they
prancing.
Call this, they
prancing.
Call this equestrian.
By the way, look at that horse.
Did you? Oh, the horse crip walking, cuz. You see that? On the set. That's gangsters of mother. Hey! Oh, look at this, cuz.
Oh, come on, man.
This horse is off the chain. I gotta get this mother the video. Girl. Oh, my God.
Snoop said I gotta put the horse in the video.
Off the chain. I need that.
Horse crip walking is officially in the Olympics.
Man, you see that?
Play it one more time, man.
You gotta see that. That intro walk was cold.
Play it one more time. Play it one more time so we can see it.
Oh, man. That's too much. That is too funny. I'm all in on the horse. What do you say? Pimp walking?
Crip walking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which, again, you could call it. I mean, we know the background of Crips and Bloods. Obviously, it's not as intense as it once was. So, crip walking is a dance. And I guess to Snoop, That horse was crib walking. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. That's so funny, those two together. And yeah, the Olympics, USA. Big, real quick before we get to the Horn Top 20, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, according to theathletic.com, did meet with the Pac-12 commissioner, the new Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliavkov, yesterday. And their meeting was expected to be a potential first key step about whether the two conferences could form some type of alliance or strategical partnership during college football's new phase of realignment. No comment from either side, but the discussions between the two, you know, they're I don't know if merger would be too strong a word, where you just merge the two conferences, but there's also something called a scheduling alliance that has been alluded to, where they would, you know, keep the conferences together, but schedule one another to create big, you know, intersectional games. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but if you're a fan of the Big 12, not Texas and Oklahoma, because they're headed to the SEC, that is out there, that Bob Bowlesby is being proactive, working with the Pac-12, that according to theathletic.com. So we'll keep you posted on those developments. But as we mentioned last hour with our guest Ari Temkin, you know, he is in addition to being the host of Big 12 Today on Sirius XM, Ari is also a Kansas graduate. And there was a report yesterday that I think people should pay attention to. Ari was keen on it as well, that there was an insider who covers Kansas athletics, who, as Ari told you, was the first to report that they who the new athletic director was going to be, who the new football coach was going to be, and was spot on. He also, that very same insider, Mike Vernon, was on a radio show in Kansas City yesterday and says there is some conversation that Kansas is intent on getting to the Big Ten, and that there is some momentum towards that. Now, there's you know, who knows if that's where that stands, but a pretty tied-in Kansas insider reporting that there is at least mutual interest potentially, and that Kansas has got their eyes on that. We'll keep you posted on it, because obviously if Kansas were to drop into the Big Ten and make that official, now you got the top three revenue-producing programs in the conference on their way out, Texas, Oklahoma, and then Kansas. If that happens, I mean, you can pretty much put a fork into the Big 12 at that point for its future existence. Let's dive into our Horn Top 20 countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 18, the Texas Longhorns.
The Texas Longhorns at number 18 in our countdown. Do they belong? I think yes. I think they do. I know when I put pen to paper and before we got to our Horn Roundtable and ranked the top teams, I had Texas right about here, 18 to 22. You could put them just outside the top 20. I think for me, they're the third team in the Big 12, you know, at least on paper as the season begins. And if that, you know, if you're third in the Big 12, Oklahoma's going to be a top five team, potentially maybe even play for a national title if their season goes as they plan. Iowa State's a you know, fringe top 10 team, and then Texas right there. So, yeah, fringe top 20, 2-3 loss, maybe, you know, four losses drops you out of the top 20. You keep it to three losses, and Texas can be in there, big picture. Zay, when I said we'll know where Texas stands by mid-October, this season for Texas comes pretty fast and furious. I mean, we know Louisiana's the opening game. They're number 20 in our countdown. With all the experience coming back, we know that will be a firm test for the Longhorns with an experienced team coming off a 10-win season. Then they go to Arkansas, so they'll get that road, you know, first road trip in a really hostile environment, a future SEC opponent and rival in Arkansas. Then there's a bit of a breather with Rice and the Rice Owls. But then when they open conference on September 25th, Zay, their first four games, Texas Tech here, go to Fort Worth. And obviously now that's always a hostile environment, but it becomes even more hostile based on the events of the last 10 days when they go play the Horned Frogs and Gary Patterson's success against the Longhorns since they've joined the Big 12, pretty much dominant. Then Oklahoma, then Oklahoma State. And those are your first four conference games, the easiest of which would be Texas Tech here, but then we know that's never an easy game for either side, always hotly contested. Point being, I mean, we'll know, are the Longhorns a top 20 team? Do they even belong in this conversation? You know, we'll know pretty quick where they stand, where their deficiencies are, because those first four games in conference play will come hard and heavy. When you're playing the Red Raiders, you turn around and go to Fort Worth, go back to the Metroplex for the Oklahoma game, and then turn around and host Oklahoma State here before your only bye week of the season. That's formidable for Steve Sarkisian. That is not you don't get to ease into your inaugural season as the head coach. You got the first six games come at you pretty fast, Zay.
Yeah, yeah, as it should. And this is what it's going to be like for the next few years, especially being in the SEC. There's not going to be many cakewalks anymore. And that's how it should always be. I mean, I know people can't stand the road teams that come down to DKR, and sometimes with the games, you know, could be a little bit stale. And I don't think you're going to get that this season or any season moving forward. And I know we got a lot of question marks on a lot of roster spots to be filled. And, you know, one thing that made my ears perk up was Ari talking about Xavier Worthy, especially with Jake Smith, you know, him entering the transfer portal. Does that mean the former Michigan transfer, is he going to come in and, you know, start right away and be a contributor?
Yeah, it'll be, that's the name you keep hearing. And we're going to talk coming up top of the hour to Quan Cosby. Quan will join us, of course, from the Longhorn sidelines the last several years, and Quan tied in as anybody over at there at the 40 Acres. We'll talk to Quan about the developments, the move to the SEC, but also this Longhorn receiving core. I mean, it is the, you know, I think Texas fans, I think we can look at the defense and say, you know what, Pete Kwiatkowski's got quite a bit to work with there on the defensive side of the ball. When you're bringing back, you know, that many guys up front. I mean, Steve Sarkisian has talked about how pleased he was with the defensive line depth through the spring, with guys like Alfred Collins and Jacoby Jones is having a good summer and has had a good start here with this new coaching staff. You know, Keandre Coburn, who we got to hear from up in Big 12 Media Days, he is one of the anchors of that Texas defense. Vernon Broughton up front. I mean, they really like Mora Ojomo. They really like the bodies that they have up front. And they also like what they have athleticism-wise in the secondary. I think there needs to be a higher level of technique in their coaching in their secondary, their coverage skills, ball-in-the-air skills, you know, ball-hawking skills. I think that's a big step. The Texans need to take a big step forward there if they're going to be a top-flight defense. But I think the pieces are there to be an excellent defense in the Big 12 with Pete Kwiatkowski, the new defensive coordinator, who is known for his schemes and his X's and O's and his tactics, his disguising of coverages and blitz packages that he's going to bring. And of course, their biggest hole on defense was in the transfer, was in the at the linebacker position, and they attacked the transfer portal with four new linebackers brought in. As we know, Ray Thornton from LSU, Ben Davis comes in from Alabama. They also brought in the transfer from Notre Dame and New Mexico State. So four new linebackers to go with DeMarvion Overshown and the young linebackers that were already there. So that position, I really like the opportunity for the defense to be pretty stout pretty early. Obviously on offense, you know, the question starts and ends at quarterback. Is it going to be Casey Thompson? Hudson Card will push him. Steve Sarkisian said pretty bluntly at Big 12 Football Media Days he plans to go with his gut. I mean, he'll make a call. He said he's told both quarterbacks, make this a really hard decision. But he said at some point during the camp, he thinks it'll separate, and he'll be able to make a call on that, whether it's Casey or Hudson Card. Offensive line, it starts with the young center, Jake Majors, right at the point there. And they like the veteran, you know, the guys they have coming back that have played a lot of football. Derek Kerstatter comes back. He'll be one of the anchors. You know, does he play a guard position or a tackle? Christian Jones, Denzel Okafor comes back for another season. So, I mean, a lot of veteran, Junior Engelau is back. But do those guys get pushed by some of these young guys, the Andre Carricks of the world? But they like the depth they have for Kyle Flood in the offensive line. Tight end, they have pretty good depth there. Cade Brewer is back as one of those super seniors. And some young guys, Jared Wiley and others, pushing that at the tight end position. But as we say, the big question becomes wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball. Who emerges there? We know Jordan Whittington is going to be, at least on paper, the X-factor player. You also have, you know, Troy O'Meary, the freshman last year who got hurt, who was turning heads, and he's going to be in the mix. Josh Moore is still there for the Texas Longhorns. But the name Xavier Worthy that Isaiah mentioned is one to watch. He is an absolute speedster. He had been originally committed from Fresno, California, originally committed to Michigan. And then when Steve Sarkisian landed the Texas job, he switched his letter of intent and ended up coming to Texas. And by all accounts, through the summer workouts, has really turned heads with his ability to grasp the offense, pick it up quickly, play even as a freshman, as a seasoned player. And, you know, as we say, you can't coach speed. You just can't. And Texas needs an explosive playmaker and that outside, you know, receiver position. And I think Steve Sarkisian is going to come from the Nick Saban tree of, is if he's good enough, he's old enough. Don't really, you know, the The letter doesn't matter. If he's a freshman, he's a freshman. But if he can play and he knows the offense and he's mature enough to handle it and he can run 10-3 in the 100 meters and has football speed too, we're going to put him on the field because he helps your offense open things up. So we'll watch that as things develop. Texas is number 18 in our countdown. Your thoughts, do they belong in the top 20? Or is they got a lot to prove? I think that's fair to say too as we get this rolling. Quad Cosby will join us after the top of the hour. He will give us his opinion on all these topics. We'll also have Isaiah Collier walking us through the hot or not topics here coming next as we roll on B&E on a Wednesday. Live, local, and digital streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not, Red Hot Wednesday in Austin, Texas. Not as hot as normal. How about temperatures? They're right around 90 degrees today. 10 degrees or so cooler than your normal August the 4th. And it is this day 28 years ago that that Robin Ventura made the ignorant decision to charge the mound against the old cattle rancher from Texas. That didn't go well, Zay. Didn't go well for Robin. He got put into a headlock pretty quick. It's like one of those little calves. Then wrap it up and then bang. How many shots did he land? And interesting on that 28 years ago today, Nolan Ryan stayed in the game. Like, he kept pitching. He didn't get ejected. They're like, he didn't do anything wrong. What did he do? Stayed in the game. Awesome. Speaking of tempers flaring, Zay, we had the video of the two dudes getting in a fight on a Southwest Airlines flight from Austin to Austin from New Orleans, right? That you and Buck were talking about yesterday. A couple of big dudes landing haymakers, man. There were some punches landed. Now we got another one of these passengers behaving terribly. Frontier Airlines. Flight attendants and employees were forced to duct tape a belligerent man to his seat after he groped two flight attendants and punched another. And here's my question. I'm not hot on this. Once they landed and, they had to duct tape them to control the guy so they get him and, get him to the authorities when they got to their gate, the employees were then suspended for duct taping the guy. Like, I guess that's against policy. I kind of like it. I don't see what you got to control the guy. Can we duct tape the guy?
Yeah, I don't know about duct taping them, but you have to control them somehow.
Yeah,
you don't got no security or Paul Bartz around.
Yeah, you don't have a police officer on board. What are you going to do? Use what you got. You're in a confined space. You're a danger to other people and your employees. I don't have a problem with it, but they've been suspended now for the duct tape incident. And apparently, Zay, there was a massive brawl in New York Giants football camp yesterday. Did you hear about this? That first day of padded practice, and it turned into a complete team-wide brawl, offense and defense, and ended up Daniel Jones, the quarterback, ended up at the bottom of the pile.
That's what you want.
It's exactly what you want in your first padded practice with the New York Giants. And apparently Coach Joe Judge there went crazy and made them all run. Made coaches. He had assistant coaches running.
See, I told you, Kelvin Benjamin, he might have something there after getting cut day one.
With Joe Judge.
Yeah, he said Joe Judge will never win a Super Bowl. He doesn't do things the right way.
Well, that might be a sign of issues there with the New York Giants. A team-wide fight on day one, first padded practice, as we talk some football. Isaiah Collier, what do you have in hot or not, my friend? Something we've missed here halfway through the show.
Thanks, E. It looks like all the kids are catching up to Phillip Rivers because he might be making the comeback to the NFL. Phillip Rivers said that he is not quite there, which he thinks he's talking about retirement. He said he wouldn't have made weight last week, but he's saying, but he's saying he's starting to lift, run, and throw the ball a little bit. How do you feel about this? Phillip Rivers maybe making the comeback.
Yeah, I read that story, and this all started, I think, probably when Carson Wentz hurt his foot. And you're thinking, oh boy, if that becomes a long-term issue, what are they going to do? Is Nick Foles coming in? Yes, old man Phillip Rivers keeping himself in shape. I mean, you could see that. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. If you get an absolute desperate pinch and you need somebody, and I'm sure Phillip Rivers, what does he have, 11 kids? I'm sure he's...
Yeah, that's a lot of college tuition he's going to have to pay for.
I think he's got the money, but at the same time, 11 kids.
You're like, yeah, they're not all playing quarterback. I know that.
Yeah. But people always, I love that. People say, oh, I want to spend more time with my family. And then pretty soon after that, they're like, hey, can I come back? Can I get back in the league? I need something to do. Philip Rivers could be coming back. Well, we'll see. Keeping himself in shape. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, he played pretty well last year for the Colts. They got themselves into the playoffs, and they had a really good game with Buffalo in the AFC playoffs a year ago. But, you know, the skills have eroded. The arm strength is down. It would be one of those situations if someone, you know, gets desperate for a QB, I could see him keeping himself in shape. But I don't think anybody's going to be knocking his door down at this point. But that'll be built on injured players for sure. And you could see it. But, yeah, 11 kids later. Philip Rivers.
Yo, think how much daycare costs for Philip Rivers. I don't know the age range from the youngest to the oldest, but man, I'd be pulling a Tom Brady if I was Phil. Like, until the league kicks me out, I am going
to play. Make every penny?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a damn daycare at his house. That's ridiculous.
Remember when they when the San Diego, remember he's still with the Chargers, where he's played the most of his career, of course. He when the Chargers moved to L.A., he didn't move, remember? And he would take a car service to the facility every day, a two-hour drive both ways.
Just to clear his mind from the damn kids.
Yeah, because he obviously didn't want to uproot his whole family and move into Los Angeles, so they stayed where they were. But so he had essentially a big limo car service that would drive him to practice and back every day, to and from. It was 4 hours total commute each day. Yeah, so we'll see. Philip Rivers. So at quarterback is a hot topic for sure in the NFL. It typically is. The Cowboys are curious about Dak Prescott. Don't expect to see him tomorrow night. Remember, the Cowboys will play in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night in Canton, Ohio, as part of those Hall of Fame festivities. Don't expect to see Dak Prescott. He's dealing with a little bit of a tired shoulder here to start the season. Also, Ben Roethlisberger not expected to play. You think you see any starters for the Cowboys in that game? You know, some of the young defensive players that they need to see some reps on, or do they just completely stay off of the 53-man roster tomorrow night?
I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even waste it. I wouldn't even try it. Micah Parsons, he could wait. He's fine. I know he's probably itching to get out there, but these games mean nothing. This is all for TV and NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the risk? I mean, I think you'll see the starters in one of these games, but as we know, if you don't play them, they have 0% chance of getting hurt. If they do play even at all, you could deal with an injury, which could set back your season, and these games are meaningless, and I don't think they need... You know, do they need reps, especially against the second and third and fourth teamers of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Somebody said, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? I think so. I mean, I think in today's, I mean, the numbers get you into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's got the numbers, the yards, total yards, touchdown passes. Never played in a Super Bowl. Was never able to get past Tom Brady in that AFC or Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning will go into the Hall of Fame this weekend in Canton. But, you know, he was that third quarterback in the AFC for a long, long time behind Peyton and Tom Brady, and never got over the hump into a Super Bowl. But I think he goes to the Hall of Fame. I do. I mean, he's nine times a Pro Bowler, a lot of numbers, and just a general pain in the ass when you have to play against him. I do know that. Won a lot of football games, but not the big one. We'll take your thoughts on that. Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer as he contemplates? He's a Hall of Fame father for sure, Zay. Hall of Fame procreator and father. That says, I don't think Mrs. Rivers is working a day job to need daycare. Yeah, I think Mama Rivers stays home with her 11 kids, I would guess. But I don't know. I don't know what their situation is with Philip. Hey, we come back. Quan Cosby will join us. We'll talk football with Quan. Longhorn sitting at number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. We'll ask Quan if that's about right for him. Also, Quan was at an event last Thursday that featured the chairman of the Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife, and Jay Hartzell was there. We'll talk to Quan about the developments of the last week or so, the historic developments of the last week or so with Quan. Coming back next, it's BNE Live, local and digital, streaming on your Horn app, streaming on your smart speaker always, and always streaming at hornfm.com.